Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with writer guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
I'm Ballsy, and thanks for checking out the podcast. And please share so we can grow the game of football here in Saskatchewan. Now, Growing the Game with Ballsy is the voice of Saskatchewan football. It's the place where we love to promote the amateur stars of the sport. Today, Regina Thunder coach Scott McCauley talks about his team's offseason and tells us who he thinks should be on the Thunder's Mount Rushmore. I'd like to thank my sponsors, Pizza Huts in Saskatchewan. For takeout or delivery, make sure you grab Pizza Hut today. Boys Next Door Window Cleaning. Right now, Nathan and Landon have a deal where if they clean your windows and they get dirty within 5 days of that cleaning, they'll touch up 10 of them free of charge. Mark Greshner Photography. His fine work can be found at markgreshner.com. SAS Selects Football. Building the stars of tomorrow today. And Paul Waldo at Royal LePage. Get in the real estate game by giving the three-time Grey Cup champ a call at 306-502-5355. Just before we get to Mr. Scott McCauley, I know you're bored at home during this quarantine. Well, celebrities are just like you, it turns out.
Tonight on Celebrities in Quarantine, Jordan Ziff, lead guitarist of Rat.
Hello? I paid that. We'll check your records. Gah.
That's tonight on Celebrities in Quarantine.
Joining me now on Growing the Game with Ballsy, the outstanding head coach of the Regina Thunder football team, Scott McCauley. Scott, I get you at the beach. Little social distancing fun out there at the lake?
You bet. You're just here with the family, relaxing and enjoying the cottage. When we can.
Going out of your mind, though, I bet your kids, your twin boys, are going out of their mind not being able to play organized sports.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that they're a little bit lonely right now, you know, not being able to be out there with their friends, but at least they're twins and they get to play with each other, and I definitely know that they're craving some competition and getting back to a normal life.
You had a great off-season recruiting. Tell us about the crop of players you brought in for this season.
We're definitely excited with the guys that we're able to bring into our club this year. And, you know, we've actually started to focus a lot in the rural areas. And we found this one guy, Zenon Rupko. He's a quarterback out of Unity, and I think he's going to be a special guy. Like, he's got a great strong arm. He's got some good height. He must be about 6'1". But what he kind of really brings to the game is his football IQ and also his leadership skills. And we're already seeing that sort of come to the forefront here. So we're excited to have him on board. Then I start to look at the receiver position, and I think that's one area that we definitely got a lot of great talent coming to us this year. You know, we have a couple guys that have been out of football for a few years, and Zach Arsenault from Riffle and then also Karen Persong from Miller. Both those guys are going to be able to step in right away and play, and definitely are dangerous weapons for our guys. Defensively, you know, like right away, I look at our defensive backs. You know, we basically have everybody coming back, but also we were able to get some guys like Dylan Kiefer from Miller, and then also Tucker King from Miller as well. And we just keep on tending to get some really great talent there. And then even at linebacker, you know, we got Avery Dunster, who played for the U of S Huskies, that is now going to be coming to play for us and gives us that instant depth. But there's some young guys. There's a guy named John Batt out of O'Neill that's just a great athlete. He's actually a quarterback that decided that he wanted to play in linebacker, but like he's super aggressive, he's tall, he's got that great body as well, so he's going to be able to play in the box and make some contributions quickly.
It's been 7 years since you guys won your only championship, and you've been at the door a few times against the Hilltops. We've talked about it. Physicality and maybe some size is what you guys need to compete with them. Is that still what you think you need in terms of trying to knock off the champs?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you automatically look at their offensive line. Like, their offensive line is huge, and they really rely on those guys to for the run game, but also just they're just mean and they're tough, and they do a good job giving their quarterback time to play. And even with their defensive linemen, like their defensive linemen are also tall and they're tough, and they have a certain body type that they want. So for us to be able to compete with them, we definitely need to get some guys that are bigger and more physical, but also like us as coaches too. Like I think that we need to start to simplify some of the things that we do so we can let our athletes just be athletes and produce on the field.
Scott McCauley, why did you, at the start of this interview, you said you focused on rural Saskatchewan. Not like you haven't paid attention before, but why was more of your focus there this year?
A lot of times, like when you're competing with a lot of youth sports programs, like, one, they're focused just in, the bigger centers, right? And mm-hmm. the guys that play Team Sask and the guys that, are playing Spring League and things like that. So I find that sometimes the rural areas like aren't totally like looked after, mm-hmm. and so for us, it's easy for us to get out there and make contact. We've got a great connection throughout the province. But the other thing too is that there's a lot of great athletes out there as well, and they're just sort of like just not seen because like they're not in town and we can't have eyes on them all the time. So there is a lot of great athletes out in the rural areas, and also the coaching in the rural areas is outstanding as well. Especially in Saskatchewan, they put a lot of time and effort and a lot of pride into the programs, and I think it's really benefiting those kids.
We're going to talk about coaching in a second because you guys did a great thing in the off season. It started, I think it started in person, but then it shifted to the Zoom meetings, and that's the three phases coaching clinic. We'll get to that in a second. But recruiting, what makes Scott McCauley a good recruiter, and did anybody teach you to recruit?
Well. Yeah, Scott McCauley is a good recruiter, and I got great guys that I work with. And I think, we've been able to make some good contacts like throughout the province. And we take the time to make sure that we stay in contact with our scouts, and they feed us back, information on guys that maybe have been overlooked. And we try to be proactive with that. Even for myself, though, like I do work for Pfizer, and there's a lot of techniques, I guess, when it comes to selling and informing people. The information you have. So that's, I think that's something that we've used, some of the things from Pfizer, to teach all our coaches of like how we recruit and how we talk to people and parents and mm-hmm. things like that. But the other thing too is Gary Hetcheverry actually provided me with quite a bit of like good stuff that, some of the universities down in the States tend to do. And for us, we do believe in the power of numbers, trying to get as many people in as we possibly can and give them all an opportunity to showcase their talents. And then from there, we'll start to go down. But we'll always start off with a lot of high numbers at our indoor camps. And then from there, we'll start to pick away as we move forward.
I think your business side, led by Mirat El-Khatib, has done a good job of getting some funding together, and hopefully that continues through this tough time, the COVID-19 pandemic. But it's allowed you guys to give a good chunk of your roster scholarships to go to school. It's a working man's league like it always was when I played, but it's turned into guys that, couldn't find a place at the U Sports level, but now they're going to school while still playing for the Thunder, which I really like. But let's get to the coaching now. The Three Phases Coaching Clinic. Talk about that, because you guys have been grinding. Just talk about... what went into that and what's the purpose of it?
So basically, Dave Jackson, a couple of years ago, who's been coaching the CFL, when he came back, he really wanted to create, some sort of event that allowed coaches to get better together. And so we started off, basically we'd have three clinics, and each clinic would have three speakers, and the max amount of time that they're allowed to talk would be 45 to 60 minutes, somewhere in there. And, we got a lot of people that were coming there. I think we're averaging about 55 to 60 guys per clinic. But obviously with the whole COVID thing, we had to figure out like a different way to do things. So we immediately went to doing some Zoom clinics, and like the first couple that we had, I think we had around 60, 80 guys. And since then it started to go down a little bit because we started a YouTube page, but you see the subscribers is actually increasing on that YouTube page and the amount of views as well. So there's guys are definitely using that as a way to improve their knowledge and move forward. But for us, there's a lot of great CFL coaches, and that's how it started. Like, Richie Hall lives in town, and, Mike Shepard lives in town, and, Dave Jackson's in town. But we also want to use that as an opportunity that, guys like such as Jeff Stusick or even our own coaches, like with Stefan Ensign, if there's certain things that they want to improve on during this off season, it gave them an opportunity to go study it and then develop their presentations, but then come back and actually do it live. So and it kind of held them accountable for it as well. So it was a great way for us to push our coaches to get better and put the time and energy that's needed during the offseason.
Okay, so we're going to wrap this thing up because we have no football. I got to start talking about different topics, and I wanted to do this, and I'm going to do it with all the amateur football teams, the Huskies, the Rams, the Hilltops, and, of course, here launching it with you, the Regina Thunder. I asked you to help me come up with the Regina Thunder's Mount Rushmore. So four figures, either players or builders, that have been really instrumental in this organization. Now, before I get you to talk, I'm going to say this. It wouldn't matter if you're on here or not. Scott McCauley is a guy that deserves to be on Mount Rushmore, but we won't put him on only because we're talking to him here and we don't want to make it look like it's self-serving. But here's the guy that was the only – he was the head coach when they won their only championship. He's been a – he's a great coach. I haven't been coached by him. My son hasn't, except for when you invited him out to those camps. But he's a guy that the players love, and he's dedicated to the program and does it for free. Does it just because he loves kids. And is, like I said, he's been the head coach of the team when they won the championship back in 2013. So you are a special addition to our Mount Rushmore. We'll have five heads on the mountain here, Scott. But let's go with the other four. Who do you got for the other four?
The other four? Okay. I know that, like, right away, I looked at Erwin Klemner. Erwin Klemner came into the organization when it was kind of struggling and nobody really knew, like, you know, financially, were they able to survive? Mm-hmm. The quality of the play, you know, they weren't winning as many games. And he came in and during the 7 years really turned things around, not just from, you know, having a team that was able to, you know, just show up and play. He had a team that could compete every year. And I think he actually got to the PC final two or three times in those 7 years, and he really turned things around. But it was more off the field, too. Like, he got a lot of directors on board. So I would say Erwin Klemner would be one for sure.
Mm-hmm.
The other guy would be Brent Wirth. Brent came on board with us in 2010, and you know, behind the scenes, never really in the limelight. He was always he's always putting the time and effort and keeping the organization afloat and helping bring directors in and run our different events, especially with our sports dinner. Like, I think it's one of the best ones out there, and it's all because of him. So I definitely have Brent Wirth up on that mountain as well.
Mm-hmm.
Then I would say Asher Hastings. I know he wasn't with us very long, but he was a hell of a football player. And he came in and provided a lot of great leadership. And for me, I was lucky, you know, my first year being head coach, one of the things that I really wanted to put a focus on was the, you know, the team values. And Asher Hastings is one of the guys that I immediately, like, kind of bought in and brought that to the forefront. And he still talks about, like, that's probably one of the reasons why we ran. One, because the players bought into the pillars and we're all speaking the same language and moving in the same direction, and it really has to do a lot with his leadership.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess, like, the last guy that I, like, kind of pops into my mind is a guy like Brett Selinger. He's a linebacker who played for us, and you know, he wasn't the fastest guy or the biggest guy, but he was one of the smartest football players on the field. And again, he was a guy that really bought into our team culture and you know, brought to the forefront to make sure the rest of the other players were following suit. So from a defense perspective, I always think of Brett Selinger when I think of one of our top guys.
Yeah, no disrespect to anybody that we didn't mention. I mean, the list goes on. You guys have had, on that football team, the Thunder football team, just think of the guys that played in the CFL too. Like, think of all the guys. Dan Clark, I mean, you had Stu Ford, you had Paul Waldo. I mean, the list goes on and on. That's been a great organization. Randy Shaw back in the day. So many great names in Regina Thunder football history. Thanks for this, Scott. Enjoy the rest of the time at the lake, and we'll be chatting soon, my friend.
All right, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Yeah, and let's remember, that was just the opinion of Scott McCauley, but man, does that team have some players in its history. Paul Waldo, Chris Getzlaff, Dan Clark, Zach Evans, Brett Wade, Stu Ford, Jordan Yance, Kyle Siemens, Sawyer Bittner, John Mackey, and the list goes on and on and on. Just before we wrap up, in our latest Growing the Game with Ballsy quarantine, we're finding that some people are just fine with living in quarantine. Boy, this one takes you back to Mosaic Stadium last summer, doesn't it? Kinda.
I have no commute. I wear a tracksuit and work from my lazy boy chair. They said stay at home and spend time alone. A pandemic had just been declared. I ordered supplies from Amazon Prime. Got Netflix to stay entertained. I got plenty of food and toilet tissue, so I'll just stay in my domain. 'Cause I'm just fine.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com. Ballsy can be heard weekdays in Regina on 104.9 The Wolf Morning Show and during Saskatchewan Roughriders and U of R Rams broadcasts on 620 CKRM.